Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Atlanta, what's going on? We get a star back in the A, and his name is Miguel Almiron. We're going to talk to Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United, coming up in about 30 minutes to discuss his return to the A, Mike. And we've been talking about this for weeks. We were out at the training grounds, the training facility, last week, and nobody would confirm, but they all kept looking at us and shaking their head as our new manager and, you know, Garth Lagerwey, and everybody's like, but we don't know, Well, now we know. So it's breaking news, obviously, today, but it's good news.
Yeah, man. I was joking around. We were up there at Atlanta United. I said, how many guys have got that order queued up? It's in the cart. You know, if you go to, like, the MLS website or Atlanta United. And, again, if you're not a United fan, this is the guy that put fannies in the seats, the great vibes of 17, 18 before he moved on to England. But, yeah, I literally was that dude. So today I went, click, purchase.
You got one?
Yes.
You got one?
Yes. Now, if you're new to the show, the good news, bad news is any time that I purchase a jersey, terrible things tend to happen, including that brand new Joseph jersey I was rocking in Nashville when, his knee went out.
My knee.
But anyway, and generally guys get traded or a bad thing. But either way, I still was saying, oh, you know, I hedged my bet. I went and I got an original Miggy jersey from some dude on eBay for like $29. And I got a brand new one. So either way, hopefully we'll have some good juju. But can't wait to see Miggy and the home opener against Montreal on February 22nd, a Saturday night for what should be a full house.
No doubt. And our DPs are now falling into place. Designated players. These are the guys that are making the most and should be your most productive players. And I think, Mike, we're going to be a much more explosive offense. We're going to talk to Jason Longshore about it here on the show. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley. P-A-D-L-Y. Sell your home for cash fast. That's PadleyBuys.com. Hey, along the way, we got a lot to get to today. Hawks in action tonight at Cleveland. And listen, right now I had a guy say to me, Duke, so what's your prognosis on the season now that this has happened with Jalen Johnson? Well, look, I'm going to wait to see if they do anything at the trade deadline. Because what they could do is try to replace that scoring, Mike, and go get somebody that might be around next season, right, and you might try to build. But the reality is right now, you know, I'll be honest, I'm looking at the play-in again. Guys, I can't sit here and tell you without Jalen Johnson, this is going to be a top four seed in the Eastern Conference. So they get Cleveland tonight, then at Indiana, and as we said, at Detroit Monday. It's 3 road games for the Hawks.
All the NBA rumor mongers want this. And then Lauren Williams, who we had on the show the other day from the AJC, she retweeted it, is Phoenix apparently talked to us about Yusuf Nurkic.
Yeah, because he's not playing at all.
And, okay, I mean, I don't know how that might work. something to spark it up. But, you know, if you're looking for pure, just pure scoring on average, we kind of get better right now from Okongwu and Capella, but it's just something to think about. So we'll see where the Hawks go. I know that yesterday it was kind of doom and gloom because just based on previous experience, I hope I'm wrong, is that the Hawks will do something at the trade deadline. But when you see where you're so banged up with injuries, and you said it, just can't replace Jalen Johnson. So how can you do that without having to spend some loot?
And by the way, him and Bud had a falling out. Bud has not played him. Now it's multiple weeks.
He's in my doghouse.
He is. Yeah. He is. And then when asked about it, Bud was just like, it's tough. It's the NBA. And like,
once you're in my doghouse, you never get out of my doghouse.
So that is why he's on the trading block. Hey, let me ask you something, because we were just talking amongst ourselves as a show. Big O is here behind the glass, our engineer. Of course, Turtle, our executive producer. And coming up, as we said, we'll talk to Jason Longshore. We also had a great conversation yesterday with our buddy Big Hugh Douglas about the Eagles. And, you know, we're getting ready for the Super Bowl like everyone else. And next week, we'll start to dive in a little bit more. But Hugh stopped by yesterday to talk about all the drama that happened with the Eagles this season, including Sirianni, who was on the hot seat and almost on his way out. Jalen Hurts, remember at the beginning of the season, there was some strife between those two. I mean, there's stuff that's been going on. A.J. Brown sitting on the bench with the book, and he said, look, all the teammates were upset about it. But it also allowed A.J. Brown to calm himself down because, to be honest, he wasn't getting the football. I say all of that, Mike, to say there's drama and stuff going on with all these teams, and I'm just curious. Do you think Falcon fans, as we've been talking about all this stuff that you know, we're getting ready for the draft and all this stuff that we're going to, you know, look at, what do you think the frustration level is? Or do you think that it's not as much as we think?
I thought, you know, there were times as far as like Drake. Friends, do you think Drake was frustrated with Desmond Ridder?
I do.
I think you saw that at times. And I think we were all frustrated with Desmond Ridder last year. We were really frustrated. And I think as a rookie, we talked about, I love Drake because he's super competitive. There's an intensity with him. We've had interviews with him where he brings it. And I think, you know, as a rookie, you're not going to sit there and start dissing a guy like Mariota, who, albeit a guy that's become a journeyman, you're going to sit there and start complaining.
Bum.
We don't have those guys. We just have not. I mean, the closest thing, and I don't want to tick off Julio fans, but once in a while, you know, but it was more about money. It was really about not getting the rock, you know? So I don't think we've ever really had that situation here. We had Joe Horn at the end of his career that did nothing.
No, didn't
work. We've never really had the guy. Roddy wasn't bellyaching. Remember you and I, hashtag free Roddy, when Shanahan in his first season here as OC wouldn't get Roddy the rock, and then three throws in a row in a game.
What do y'all say?
But I just don't think we've ever had that dude.
No, I don't either. And the frustration from players is one thing. What about the frustration from the fan base? Do you think – what level is it? From 1 to 10, do you think it's a 6? Do you think it's an 8? You guys hit us up, 404-726-0929. Because I want to get the pulse. I'm curious because Mike and I, all right – maybe more frustrated with the way things have played out, and that's been voiced on this show, than maybe you are. Maybe you're a little bit more patient. And Mike always says, yeah, you got the patience of Job. Maybe you're a little bit more patient with the way this is going. And, you know, whether Ra was here or wasn't, and I think we all agreed that somebody needed to pay the price, and they did, and they fired the defensive coordinator. But what is the level? 404-726-0929.
Where's your head at?
Where's your head at? And Chris, let's take some phone calls because I'm curious. Is it a 6? Is it an 8? Because if 5 of you call in right now and you go, Dukes and Bell, it's a 9. It doesn't feel that way.
I mean, two things. You know me. I hate to get into that rut because I always say to Falcon fans every year, it's a new year. And then I said to you yesterday, I said, this is it. No more hype train for me. But do you feel that, you know, are you looking at you can't. Even though there is a trend, and the trend is now 7 seasons, you can't blame certain things on a guy who's not here anymore or a GM that's not here anymore. Although sometimes as Falcon fans, you look at the collective and say, damn Falcons, we just can't catch a break.
Right,
or, you know,
right.
We're gonna, if why don't we draft the Georgia player or this guy? Or why don't we get that? Why don't we fix, look at the Eagles, why don't we fix the defense? And does that creep into your, you know, where you're at as far as where you're feeling, or do you feel, hey, maybe this year is the year we do. The law of averages say we will get it right because the offense is tight.
It is.
Offense, I mean, we got an offense that's elite. If and I think Michael Penix showed, certainly we depend on him to take it to the next level, and he's still kind of a rookie, guys, next year. You got to take that into consideration despite having 3 starts.
3 starts, yeah. He's not where Jaden Daniels is because of the playing time and all the games that he played under his belt.
There'll still be some growing pains, but I think people are so – I mean, to me, as a Falcon fan, I'm over the moon on the offense, and I'm down in the dumps on the defense.
Okay.
And how are you going to fix it?
All right, 404-726-0929. Well, what's the frustration level? If in fact, there is one for you. Because, again, as we discuss this stuff and we hear from you guys and we talk to our listeners, and whether you find us on social media or you find us out and about, we're going to be out, as a matter of fact, on Friday. And next week, we're out like three times where you guys can come hang out with us. We always get mixed opinions about, oh, well, that's not as bad as you guys make it out to be. Or I totally agree with you and Bell about what you said in regards to where this Falcon football team is. All right. Want to grab some phone calls here as we get the show started today on a Thursday, guys. Coming up, our daily download. Also, we're going to talk some draft as well. A couple of guests are going to stop by today. Our buddy Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports, inside the coverage or Inside Coverage podcast. He's a co-host on that. Does a really good job. He wrote an article on the new coaching hires and ranked them. And there's still one job open, right, guys? I know we've been doing our thing today, but the Saints have not hired anybody. Okay. So I just want to make sure.
I guess they're just going to wait for Kellen Moore. And here's the thing. If Kellen Moore gets, some cold feet in the last minute, boy, they're going to look like a monkey's uncle. After the Super Bowl, I've had some time to think about this, and no.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, wouldn't that be crazy? It'd be crazy. All right, let's grab a couple of phone calls. Let me grab Tony in Marietta. Tony, appreciate you listening, man. We're just curious. What is it? 1 to 10, is your frustration level a 5? And if so, why? Tell us why.
Let's go with a 12.5.
Okay.
Being the worst.
Oh.
Lot of reasons. We're kind of in cap heck right now, or we will be. And I think what people aren't thinking about is we have a running back and a receiver that are about to get paid in a couple of years because they're coming up on their fourth year. And you have a quarterback, and if all he does is what we expect him to do, we're going to be in cap heck again, and you're going to have no money for anything.
Oof. Well, that's the worst case, because you're looking at the Bengals. A lot of folks are looking at the Bengals, and they see where they are. For instance, they got no money for their big superstars. The Dolphins, some would say, just locked in too much.
Yes.
Coming to, like, their wide receivers. You know, the problem is, yes, you hope that the cap just keeps going up, like a good stock that's going the right way. But there'll be some hard decisions at some point. One, I think Pitts will not be one of those hard decisions.
Well,
but eventually, yes, Drake, if he keeps on rocking, Bijan, you got to pay him.
Guys,
Some guys you won't be able to keep, like Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because then you're going
to
say
that's not this year. No, that's down the road.
It's down the road. Thank you. He says 12. I said 1 to 10. Okay. Let's see what Cody in Gainesville says. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Frustration level, Cody. Where's it at, if you have any whatsoever?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I'd have to say it's up there, man. Probably 8 or 9.
Okay.
We're just right back in the same place where we always are. We got some hope in the offense, but Michael Penix, he played some pretty bad teams down the stretch, so we really don't know what we got there. And it's frustrating because, man, we beat the Eagles. We almost beat the Chiefs and went for some bad calls, and we played a little bit better. And we're just right back in the same place. They always just give us just enough just to bring us right back down. You know, the bad teams in the NFL, like the Panthers, the Jets, the Giants, they expect to lose, you know what I mean? And then when they get one good win, they're happy about it, whatever. But I think we're past that. So we're just stuck in that mediocrity, you know what I mean? And it's just really frustrating as a fan. So it's up there, man. I'm frustrated with the Falcons, man. I put so much time and money into them, and they just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Cody, appreciate your honesty. Guys, this is a conversation we were having amongst ourselves, and we're having it with you.
Yeah, where's your head at? I mean, is it glass half full? We joked around about it yesterday, or glass half empty? Now, as we said, you can be two things at once. We can be really good, as we said, on offense, but there's concerns on D. You know, as we said, Penix is still going to have to learn. He's going to take some lumps, but we believe in the guy.
All right, Tom, Wayne, we want to talk to you, 404-726-0929. I'm just curious. We want to know, all right? And maybe you're one of these Falcon fans who are like, no, you know what? It's not as bad as all these other people are saying. Right. We were right there.
So negative 12 and negative 8 so far.
All right, let's do some
that averages out to negative 10.
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Sometimes we need to talk to you to get the pulse. And as we've been discussing our Falcons and all the things that have been going on, all right, what's your frustration level? Mike and I have gone back and forth. Some things we agree on, some things we don't. Most things we do when it comes to how to improve this team, maybe we differ in ideas, but at the end of the day, we're just like you. And so, Mike, as we have been probably at an 8, maybe higher, mm-hmm. I don't know, especially at the end of the season, I've come across, you know, some people say, hey, Dukes and Bell, it's not as bad as you guys think it is. We're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. Okay, I want to hear some of you say that. Rather than the 12 that right. we just got and the, what was it, an 8 or 9?
You asked how frustrated you are.
Yeah,
you
know, 1 to 10, and what did he say? Was it the
10,
last call?
In other words, 10, you're a race car in the red. One guy was 12 and one guy was 8.
Okay.
So we're averaged out to 10.
All right.
Again, if we're going to be purely scientific, through two phone calls.
All right. Let's talk to Susan. Susan in Atlanta, thank you for listening to Dukes and Bell. Susan, what is your frustration level, if you have any, with the Falcons, and why?
Well, I can't say that it's less than a 10,
okay.
That's for sure.
Okay.
I'm 60 years old. I've been watching the Falcons my whole life, and they just are disastrous. And, you know, if it wasn't the idiot that owned the team before, now it's the narcissist Arthur Blank, I'm sick of it. It's the leadership, and, you know, we have a disastrous season, and who do they fire? They fire the defensive coordinator that did the most with the least. And the offense is not that great. I would have fired the offensive coordinator. Fire them all.
Susan, you would have cleaned house, huh, Susan?
You think I'm hard?
Well, yeah.
Susan, listen, we appreciate you. Stay in there, okay? We get it. We fuss about this team, and we always say we don't quit. I get it. You've been watching them a long time, but that this is what we need to know, Mike. We need to know, outside of you and I, okay, where is this thing? Because we think you feel like we do, but we're not sure. So we're asking
you. We're taking the temperature in the room, as we like to say in the business.
We're asking you. Let's talk to Wayne in Decatur, where it's greater. Wayne, welcome in. What's your frustration level? 1 to 10.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Like Susan before, I've been watching the Falcons since I was 11 years old, 1977. That's when I first started watching them. And I can count on one hand how many top 10, top 15 defenses we've had. We annually finish in the 20s in all the major statistical categories that you need to do well in if you want to thrive as a defense, which brings me to not just Terry, what's that, the general manager before Dimitrov.
Yeah.
And you can go back. We hadn't had a top 10 defense since only two. Since 98 and 2017. Right. It's frustrating as a fan when you watch your defensive backs look like they work for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. It's terrible. We have the only defensive end that we had, and we got to get him via trade, was John Abraham. But let's not forget this, too. Where's the home field advantage? When have we went 6-2 at home?
Yeah.
We lost at least five games at home. There is no ability to get an edge for our defense because we lack defensive players and or the foresight to choose the correct defensive end. And let me get off here by leaving you guys with this. We do not need a defensive end that like the slow drag with offensive tackles and a telephone booth. We need a first step. A guy that puts pressure on the tackle. But I love you guys, man. Have a great day.
Wayne, thank you.
Thank you, man. Yeah, he was there when Claude Humphrey was prowling the in the backfield, getting quarterbacks on the ground. The 77, those defenses when Bartkowski was here were some of the best defenses, but still couldn't get back-to-back winning seasons.
Yeah, and you always bring up the 17 defense because it goes ignored because we didn't get back to the Super Bowl.
Right.
But the defense was on point. It just was. I mean, it and we just kind of forget. It was better even in 17 than it was in 16.
Right. It
so,
was.
So.
That, and that was the irony with that one is, you know, why can't the two come together? Why can't we play complementary football? That was the year that Sark, you know, and again, good offensive coordinator, but dealing with an offense he had not coached, Kyle Shanahan's offense. And that was, remember that the time you and I, the Eagles playoff game comes to mind. Like, why are we going with Coleman? He never had that feel for when to roll with Coleman, when to roll with Freeman.
Freeman, yeah.
You know, and it just, amongst other things, it just never really hurt. But the defense, guys, you held the Rams and the Eagles to 29 points combined.
Yeah, in the playoffs. Thank you for your honesty, Wayne. And thank you, Susan. Love Susan. Because the bottom line is, it doesn't matter if you are a man or woman, old or not, depending on age. None of that matters. What all matters is we're all in this together. And this is why we're asking you, because as we go through this process of, hey, another offseason, we got to retool. We need this or that in the draft. What can we do in free agency? This frustration level,
right.
This meter that we're talking about is part of the thing that dictates the conversation.
Where is Terry?
And that's something that we've got to ask all spring. He's right. Got to get this right, Mike. He's got. Yeah, I don't care if we got four picks. He better hit on every single one of them.
By the way, I don't think Arthur's narcissistic. I mean, you know, he's got a positive self-image. But I just think, if anything, sometimes loyal, sometimes to a fault. You know, we always talked about that when it came to some personnel moves over the years. But you also, you know, it's funny because in 2 years you get an MLS championship. I know it's apples to oranges. And the NFL is the hardest damn thing to win because we've seen that for a number of teams. Talk to Bills fans, okay?
It is.
But yeah, it does. But frustration does always start with the top.
Let me ask you this, and then we're going to grab Reese and Sam. And thank you guys for listening and calling in today. Jason Longshore is going to join us here in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk about Miggy returning, speaking of Atlanta United. You are willing to give the Atlanta Braves more leeway because they have won chips. You are not willing to give the Atlanta Falcons that leeway because we've been close and we've come up short.
Right.
And then they've made mistakes. And it's just, it's compiled upon each year after. But, Mike, to your point about winning, you're giving Georgia a break because they've won chips recently. But even then, when it was, God bless his soul, Coach Dooley, you were still willing to give them breaks because you had one. The Falcons don't have any, and therefore you are not willing to give them any leeway when it comes to your frustration level.
Yeah.
And that is part of this.
Again, I know we've talked about it, but it's true. I mean, nothing would have redefined the city of Atlanta because, you know, there are Braves fans. Of course, there's tons of crossover. You're a Braves fan, you're a Falcon fan, but there's some Falcon fans that aren't Braves fans or some Georgia fans that aren't Falcon fans. But when the Falcons had won the Super Bowl, it just changes the entire trajectory of everything. Now, Kirby obviously got things right and went back-to-back and maybe, you know, and now Georgia's a perennial power after, you know, years they should have been.
They should have been.
But it's so, I mean, if you, again, that's why it's you hate to, you're talking like absolutes. But my God, if that final 4 minutes and 40 seconds doesn't define the Falcons, it just does. And until we get there, that's what people think of it. Outside of Atlanta, that's what we're known for.
Reese and McDonough, you're up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your frustration level, 1 to 10, if you have it.
Hey, man. I'm going to go with a 9. And the reason why I'm not going to match Susan with a 10 is because
I kind of like our offense. I'm very curious about where we're going to go with the offense, so I think we're good there.
I agree.
But if we draft anything other than defense this year, I'm going to scream. So my comment, and then I got a comment, and then I got a trivia question that I'm really interested in.
Oh.
But my comment is, if we're fortunate enough to, say, get, you know, that young man out of Marshall that showed out this weekend in Senior Bowl or this week, and maybe someone like that, and we pair that up with Braylon Trice, who, if you look at it, he's kind of like our draft pick for this year because he missed all of last year.
Good point.
Isn't that a pretty decent start?
Yes. Yes, and then go get a corner. That's the thing. We got two picks because if you think about it, we don't have a third this year. We don't have a fifth. Now, we could make moves to try to accumulate a pick, you know, for next year. We're not going to get anything for Kirk Cousins, so that's not going to happen. But you're right. I mean, if you go edge rush and you go corner in the second, I mean, that's what you need right now. And he's talking about the guy that we were all talking about. Mike Green is the edge rusher from Marshall who is going viral with his display of just whooping Connerly from Oregon yesterday down to Mobile.
Yeah, and I think your premise is right.
I love Braylon Trice. Yeah. You know me. Nobody was more down. I was talking about getting the freaking jersey after practice. I'm talking about practice.
Well, after
and then we lost him in Miami in that first preseason
after game. We talked to him, he had a presence about him. Now, again, does that translate? I don't know. But remember, it's not like he was losing out there in Washington. Guys, he was one of the captains. He was a guy that was playing well in college, got a lot of reps, and he had a presence about him. And we like that. So we'll see. Great phone call. We don't have time for the trivia. Hit us back or find us on social media. We would love to hear what the trivia question is.
I'm guessing the answer is Bob Horner. Did I get it right?
Coming up. We're going to talk to Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United. He's back. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, tomorrow we're going to be out Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, inviting you to come on through next week. Mark down on your calendars. Now,
I was sick. I was out. He's talking like this. Just remember, the babe loves you.
And Mike, it was hitting me up and said, man, this Buffalo's Cafe is kind of bananas up here in Hiram. Yeah. Guess what? We're coming back.
Hey, Hiramites. That's right. We're going to be back in the mix. We laughed because you weren't there. And we're in this back room at Buffalo's, and it was nuts. And so Chris is filling in for Carl. And the servers, and the girl, and we laughed. And we said, no, I kid you not. Chris couldn't back me up on this. She comes over to us. She goes, y'all like famous or something? So, yes, needless to say, it was a very warm welcome at Buffalo's in Hiram. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys out there. What's the date on that?
Thursday.
Next Thursday. Week, man.
The 6th.
All right.
And then I think Wimby comes into town, Mike Spurs. Did you see Wimby get pushed last night?
Yeah, now Wimby's crying. Wimby's getting all the calls. When we played, remember that game down in San Antonio where DeAndre Hunter flushed it?
And ducked on him.
And we should have had the foul. And Wimby's like, I'm not getting the calls. What? They're bullying me. But you're 7 foot, like seven, whatever the hell you are. How are you talking about that?
Yeah, he got pushed last night, got up, and you know wanted to do something. Obviously nothing happened. But he comes into town. We're going to be out at State Farm on Wednesday the 5th, and then Friday at Twin Peaks Buckhead. That's all next week. Tomorrow, Twin Peaks, Kennesaw.
So can we go, Capella, boom, bye, Capella, boom, bye. That means Capella, kill him.
Yeah, why not? Hey, let's talk to Jason Longshore. Jason joined us last week out at the training grounds, and we had a great conversation with him. And now it's official. And I got to tell you, 17s, Atlanta United fans are excited that Miguel Almiron, is coming back. And we asked you this last week, but for those who missed it, Jason, what does this bring to Atlanta United?
I think what's going to be so interesting is we can all watch the highlights from 2017 and 18 again, and I have been, and you know, we relive in all the great memories. That's a blast. But it's 2025. So my question is going to be, who is Miguel Almiron at this stage of his career? He's going to turn 31 here in a few weeks. I don't expect him to be as fast, just flat out sprinting speed, which was something that was huge for him during his time here. But I do expect him to be, as Chris Henderson, said earlier today, maybe a little bit better on the ball, a little bit cleaner with his first touch, things like that. He's also going to read the game better. That just comes with experience. And when you're playing in the biggest league in the world, you're going to get those little things. That soccer IQ is going to rise and rise. So I want to see what he can be in this group, because when you get him, you get Savo Lobjanidze, you get Alexei Maranchuk in this group, all behind a number nine that sounds like it's getting closer than ever.
Right.
You got a lot of potential goals in this team.
As we said, I think that's what we were trying to explain last time we were up there at the camp, is it's not a nostalgia move. This is a competition move. And then you throw in – now, I know there was talk, and we mentioned there was the player from Middlesbrough. Who do you think is going to be the next DP?
It sounds like it will be Emmanuel Latte-Lass from Middlesbrough. This has been an interesting transfer saga, because this is a player that, you know, a few months ago when the summer window ended in August – he was hours away from going to the Premier League with Ipswich. The deal came so late that Middlesbrough couldn't sign a replacement in time, so they said no. When that happens, it's tough for a player, I think, to kind of rebound a little bit. You got to recalibrate when you're so close to achieving that kind of a dream, playing in the biggest league in the world. It took him a little while this season, but what's been so impressive about him as of late, as the rumors have been rolling about Atlanta United putting in a large bid, which would be an MLS record if it gets done, he's still produced. He still scored goals. You know, he came out of the match on Saturday with a possible injury. Everyone said at the time from Middlesbrough that it was precautionary. It sounds like if he's done a medical and the deal is getting to that kind of a stage, that everyone feels good about where things stand. If you add him, you get Almiron, who will still be very fast. Don't get it twisted. Saba's got wheels. Maranchuk has a super talented left foot in terms of picking guys out. You got speed on either side of him if he stays as the 10, and then you've got speed in front of him. And what I also like about it is you get the number 9 settled with Almiron, who can play left, right, middle, with Saba, who can play on the left or the right, with Maranchuk, who can play left, right, middle. You have a lot of different ways in-game to move the pieces around and find favorable matchups.
So the firepower, is what you're saying, is going to be there, which is something we've lacked at least the last couple of seasons, yes?
Yes, this team should score a lot of goals. The question, and look, we went through this in 2017 and 18. I know we forget this part of it. We always do whenever we do the nostalgia trip. We forget that at times in 2017 and 2018, Atlanta United wasn't a very good defensive team.
Right.
And then in the postseason in 2018, Tata Martino shifted the approach around a little bit, got more conservative, and they got the results that lifted a trophy. That balance is going to be fascinating. And if you go back and listen to what Ronnie Dyla said after the Chattanooga match over the weekend, you know, he wanted the team to get forward more. He wanted them to play forward more. Talked about passing backwards and sideways. But when you do that, when you get more direct, when you get more north-south, the ball can come right back at you very quickly if it turns over, and you've got to be able to defend it. That balance between control and explosiveness is going to be a fascinating one to watch all year long.
It is our man, Jason Longshore, for United fans. You can follow him at Longshoe, and of course, podcasts and shows and everything else he does get you psyched up for United. I was joking around with Carl, and I said this to you on Friday. I literally had everything in the cart at MLS.com. Click! So I can't wait, man. The throwback jerseys, you know, going back to 17, Jason. Is that what we're going to be wearing as our primary, by the way?
Well, Michael Parkhurst, if you follow him on social media, and, you know, he would be fairly well connected with the club, being a former captain and all. He did post a picture of a Miguel Almiron jersey, and it was not the 2017-2018 jersey, and it was not the one that they wore last year. So I think you can draw your own conclusions on what the new primary kit will look like.
Interesting. Right. Jason, Atlanta United is not going to compete in this year's U.S. Open Cup. Why? Because isn't that the oldest tournament in the U.S., and what's the deal there?
Yeah, it is, and it's something that the league and the federation are trying to find a balance in, having a lot of different competitions for these teams, a lot of different possible trophies to win, but also not having players play too many games. This has become a big conversation in Europe and in South America, where you've got guys playing around, when you factor in national team duty, I mean, around 70, 75 games a year. And that's probably too many physically to be able to stay at your peak long enough and avoid injury. Here, teams play less than that, but they are getting up there with League's Cup, with Open Cup, with, you know, CONCACAF Champions Cup, with your regular season, with your playoffs. So what MLS and the Federation have agreed to is that teams will take part in at least one of those additional cup competitions, Open Cup, League's Cup, CONCACAF, Canadian Championship for the Canadian teams, but not more than two. So Atlanta United, based on last season's record, is in League's Cup. All the playoff teams from the previous season qualify for League's Cup. Then Open Cup, you're down to like different classifications of how high you finished. And if you're not already in another competition, it's a little bit of a flow chart. Okay. And Atlanta wasn't quite high enough to get that opportunity as well. So just League's Cup, which here you want to look at the positive out of this, you're going to be playing teams potentially, if all goes well, in the postseason that maybe have played in two competitions this season, where okay. Atlanta will have only played in one extra one.
All that's going to change next year, Carl, because we're going back, baby, because Miggy's here. It is our man, Jason Longshore. So, again, to review, Emmanuel Latte left. It looks like that's going to go down for 22 mil. And then we also brought back Jurgen Damm. Am I reading that right? From Mexico? What's going on?
No. Where did you see this? What are you reading?
Some one of those like soccer websites that said we were going back to Jurgen Damm. So that's not happening. He's like 32.
I would assume that's not true. I'm a little worried about your browser history now, Mike.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. I'd love saying the name. All right, never mind. But hey, it is our man Jason Longshore talking about the five stripes. So it'll be a few more of these like preseason. How quickly does Miggy, because and when Latte Lath gets in here, we know, as you talked about, paperwork, yada, yada. But it's not like when we bring guys up from South America, right? Everybody can, in other words, with the entire team, be ready to roll on February 22nd against Montreal at the Benz.
I think it's two different things when we were talking Miggy and we're talking Latte Lath, because Miguel Almiron got a green card when he was here before. Right. So it'll be easy to integrate him into the group, just down to where his fitness is. And, you know, he's been playing and training for Newcastle, so it's not going to be in a bad place. I wouldn't expect him, obviously, to play on Saturday in Birmingham. Probably will join the team in Bradenton and get maybe some action in those friendlies down there. And then you've got the closed-door friendly the week before the season starts that you'll be able to listen to here on 92.9 The Game, cheap plug, against Dallas. And I would expect that he would play in that.
Cool.
Great stuff. Jason, man, thanks for stopping by, keeping us updated. We talked to you last week, and it was like, all right, is it official? And it was like, no, but now it is. So everybody's excited about it, guys. All right, Jason, we'll talk to you soon, man. And we're looking forward to the start of the season with Atlanta United. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Cool beans, man. Yeah, that was, I guess, a provocateur sending me the Jurgen Damm information.
Well, listen,
I like, it's a fun name to say, though.
You know what, though? Here's the thing, and we didn't ask Jason this because we need to see him play before I start getting into this. But part of the reason why we won in 18, not only did we have skilled players that, you know, our designated players, and obviously Joseph was special and Miggy and all that, but Mike, we were tough. There was a toughness to that team.
Leandro Gonzalez Perez, always starting trouble. Chris, you'd love this dude. He was LGP, was always starting ish. We had some dudes,
we
man.
We had toughness. And yeah. I'm not saying that this team won't.
Vasquez, Garza.
Who's going to do the dirty work on this team?
Right.
That's what I'm curious about. So scoring should be better. Scoring opportunities should be better. Possessing the ball should be better. All of that is great. But you got to still have a little toughness to you, Mike. And that there were matches where you were like, somebody take care of that. And we did.
Now, I've explained to Chris, because it's kind of like, you remember way back when in 2017 and 18. But I was telling Chris about, and for guys who are not United fans, if with Miggy back and getting the juice back that we've had, not that it's been terrible, but again, you had to fire a manager and you had to get some different dudes in, and new GM comes in, has to get his stamp on it. But I told Chris, there was a time Carl and I left to go down to the Mercedes-Benz, and we got stuck in traffic on Northside, and we're literally in the Uber. All of a sudden you hear, I'm like, oh, damn it. Yeah. We missed a goal. But don't worry, there were six more. That was that game against New England. Like seven goals. It was literally watching like the NBA All-Star game for soccer. That's the kind of excitement. Like, I'm not saying they're going to score at that clip, but that's why we're so juiced for the guys guys who out there and ladies who don't follow United, it's going to be hopefully going to be a lot of
what
fun.
What was that second match they had with the Minnesota match where it was in the snow?
Yeah,
like, they scored like 8 goals in that match. It was like the orange, second or third match at the Orange Ball. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the kind of juice. And if, again, to Carl's point, the freshness of it, the newness of it. And then after a while, after COVID, we kind of lost some of that juice. Feels like the juice is back.
It feels that way. All right, we got plenty more to dive into. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. Sell your home for cash fast. Coming up, we're going to talk about what's going on around the National Football League, including one comment from Bill Belichick that I totally agree with, and it applies to our Falcons. You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.